Ladies and gentlemen, friends and rivals, my name is Jared, and with me are my very lucky friends, Faith and Joy.
Hi, I hope you have luck today. Hi.
We will be your hosts for the episode. We are honored and grateful that you've joined us at our table.
Here at the Game Table Podcast, we take a look at various board, card, and other tabletop games. We give an overview, provide a little insight on how to play, and share some of our thoughts, all in an attempt to give you an idea of how well it fit for you and your table. Today, we'll be at the kids' table taking a look at Nana, designed by Kaya Miano, artwork by Sei Beppu, and originally published by Mob Plus.
I will jump in and note here that Happy Camper published a re-implementation of this game known as Trio. I personally was drawn to the Nana version, and we'll provide a link in the description for an accessible option for purchasing Nana if you're interested.
Nana is a 2-5 player competitive memory and set collection game where players race to find sets of 3 matching cards. Rules are simple, games are quick, and this fun twist on the memory game genre is a fit for kids and adults alike. Join us at the table as we discuss Nana.
Or Nana.
That's funny.
Are you going to keep that in there?
Yeah. Because your grandma's name is Nana. It's pretty funny, right? Great. All right, girls, I have a question.
Yeah.
I actually have lots of questions, but we're going to open with this question, okay?
Okay.
Okay.
Have you ever felt really lucky?
Yeah.
Tell me about it.
I felt lucky when I got that Star Wars dress cut out from your old shirt.
Oh, very fun. You wore that dress all the time.
Yeah.
That had, do you remember who was on it?
R2-D2 and C-3PO.
Nice. Very cool.
I got lucky before.
Tell me about it.
When I got Heelys.
Ooh, that's true. Getting Heelys was a pretty lucky moment for you.
Yeah.
You had no idea that was coming.
I had no idea that was coming until I just opened that box.
And do you like them?
Yes, I love them.
Very cool. Okay, I have one more, and then we'll get into the how to play.
Okay.
What about, have you ever felt like you've completed something and felt victorious?
Yes!
Joy, go ahead.
When I completed my science fair.
Yes, you guys are in the midst of finishing up your science fair projects right now, and you're doing so good.
Yes! That was so exciting for me.
That's awesome. What about you, Faith?
Well, it's not completed.
Okay.
But I'm working on a book nook design that's way older than me.
Okay.
It's for a way older age group.
Like,
I think it was like 10 or 11 or something.
Yeah, I think probably teenagers.
Yeah,
like, I think it was like 14
teenagers.
Plus.
That was like 14 or something.
But you're building this.
I'm building this.
Yeah, it's like a kit.
And I'm doing a really good job.
You are. I'm actually really impressed. I thought that it was going to be a thing that I was going to help you with, and then you just picked it up and did it all by yourself. Really proud of you.
And I thought that all those buildings would just be crooked, and they weren't. They were perfectly straight.
I've only had trouble with the stickers.
Yeah, but you're doing really good. All right. Awesome. Well, I am going to take us through how to play, and then we will discuss this game. All right. So, in Nana, it's just a deck of cards.
Or Nana.
So it's just a deck of cards, and there are 36 cards with values ranging from 1 to 12, and there are 3 of each number. You shuffle, and then deal out the correct number of cards to each player, depending on the number of players that are playing. The remaining cards form a shared area in the middle, face down. Each player rearranges the cards in their hand from lowest to highest. On a player's turn, they have 2 options. They can have another player or themselves reveal their highest or lowest card. Then they do it again. If the 2 revealed cards are matching, they reveal 1 more card. If that card is also matching, the active player collects the set and their turn is over. If the cards are not matching when the second or third cards are revealed, all cards are returned to the appropriate owners and that player's turn is over. Additionally, or alternatively, players may choose to flip over 1 or more cards from the shared area instead of having a player reveal their highest or lowest card. Sometimes this is a necessity to find that third card and collect your set. Play continues around the table until one of the endgame conditions has been met. A player collects three sets, a player collects two sets where the number of values equals seven. For example, if I have a set of fives and a set of twos, 5 + 2 = 7. Or...
I have a question.
What?
Why is the seven called the golden seven?
Because it is the most lucky of numbers.
Well, I'm about to turn seven.
That's true. That's really lucky.
Oh, well then if we do this again and you ask us what time that we're lucky and I'm seven, I'm going to say when I turn seven.
Faith, did you feel like when you were seven it was a pretty lucky time?
At like the very end of seven and the start of eight, I got an American Girl doll for Christmas.
And that was probably the luckiest thing you've ever had happen to you?
Yes, okay. So far.
So like seven spilled over into eight.
Good. Yes.
Extra luck. Okay, very cool.
Extra luck.
So, we were talking about how if a player collects two sets where the number value equals seven, then they win the game. So again, 5 + 2 = 7, so I have a set of fives and a set of twos. Likewise, if I have a set of tens and a set of threes, 10 - 3 = 7, and that would also create a scenario where that player would win because they have two sets that equal a value of seven. The third option is if a player collects all three
golden sevens,
they win the game no matter how many sets they or another player has. And that's how you play Nana. So now, let's discuss. All right, first question.
What
was the most fun part of playing this game?
The most fun part was tonight when we played Nana. I got one of the golden sevens in my hand, and I was just searching for the other two.
You love finding those sevens?
Yeah.
It's really hard to do, though. What about you, Joy?
I have two favorite things about playing Nana tonight. One is that I got to be on a team with my younger sister.
Yeah, y'all made a fun pair, that's for sure.
And two, knowing where a lot of things were in my stack, but I couldn't get to them. Like, there is two nines in my deck, and the last nine was in the middle, but my 10 was the highest card, so I couldn't get to my nines.
So having to find where everything is and navigating your own hand are both very interesting parts of the game.
And also, I had two fours, and the last four was somewhere, but my lowest card was a two.
Okay. So you had some tricky things to work with.
Yeah, very.
My favorite part was playing Nana. When we were playing Nana tonight, I remember the first round, I had a whole set of tens in my hand.
Oh, that's pretty. It's pretty fun when you get the whole set.
Nobody even had another 10 because there's only three of each number. I just had to get rid of the 11.
That's pretty cool.
And I was done.
That's awesome. Very cool. Was there anything about the game that was tricky or confusing at first?
That one part when I couldn't get to my fours and my nines.
Oh, yeah. So navigating your hand is both one of your favorite parts, but it's also a tricky part of the game.
Yes, very tricky.
Okay. What about you, Faith?
I feel like it was really easy to learn, and there's nothing I don't like about this game.
What about some of the strategies? Did you feel like there's a little bit of strategy to this game that you had to kind of play several times before you figured it out?
I think the strategy is knowing where everything is in the middle.
Mm.
One strategy is probably going for the middle first before you play out your other cards.
Why is that?
So that if you play out your card and you play out somebody else's card, then you're looking for the last one of if you know another player has the card you have and you play it out. And it's your lowest card or highest card, and you play it out, and the other and you tell the other player to play that out too. Then, now that you found two of them, you're almost there. You just got to find one more.
No, I agree. So there's definitely some strategy to learn in this little card game about how you navigate the cards in your hand, and also the ones in the middle of deciding when to go for the middle because they're just a bunch of face down cards, right? So you don't always want to go for the middle because then you're showing everybody more information. So you're kind of hoping somebody else does it first, but eventually you do have to have that information. So it's a nice, delicate back and forth with the other players of when do we go for the middle?
Jared also gave me a strategy.
Who's Jared?
You.
Oh, do you mean Dad?
You said your name's Jared, so I have to say it.
Oh, okay.
So Jared taught me a strategy when playing Nana. I showed my card first and then went for the middle. And he said, first go for the middle because then you're just not looking for that same card in the middle. And it was so pushed in. Instead, go for the middle and then see if that's your highest or lowest card.
Yeah, I think that's, I mean, obviously, I think it's great advice because I gave it. But yeah, when you flip over the middle first, you have more flexibility, right?
Yeah.
Because then, no matter what you've picked, you can at least have a better idea of, okay, do I actually want to keep with the strategy that I had, or do I want to try and find a different card?
Like,
that's a really good strategy.
Like, if you know another player's highest and lowest card, and you know that you have that number, you just got to find the third one.
Yep.
Yeah.
Cool. What about, did you have any particular feelings when playing this game? Do you get excited? Do you laugh? Do you get nervous?
Excited.
Excited how?
Seeing how all the sets come together.
Okay, okay. Nice. Very cool.
I like, my brain just likes to seeing how puzzles come together.
Yeah, no, that's really cool. I think I do too. And it's actually really interesting take on the memory game genre, because for me, with a lot of these simple memory games, they get really boring really fast. But this one has some strategy to it, and it's still simple and yet still has this fun element to it. So I enjoy trying to figure out where everything is sitting. Joy, what do you think?
I think it's a little bit excited and a little bit nervous. The nervous part is I'm nervous that I'm not going to win.
Oh, yeah. Because it is a race, right? Like, you're yes. trying to get three sets first.
And the excited part is that the sets are really easy to find.
Sometimes they can be tricky.
Like, if another player asks your highest card
yep.
or your lowest card, another player's lowest or highest card, then you know more what they have.
Oh, so you like the deduction aspect of the game.
Yeah.
Okay, very cool. All right, what about the way the game looks? Do you girls like the cute art on the cards?
Yeah, I like the design. It kind of looks like a T-shape.
Oh, the front box?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's letters in Japanese because this is a Japanese game.
I really like the animals.
You like the animals?
And the different colors.
My favorite one was 11 when it had the little cute foxies.
Yeah, that's true. Like, they all have very different artwork, right? Or they have different animals, which is cool. And they all have fun colors that pop. And you girls are really drawn to the fact that the sevens are in gold instead of black. So you definitely like that too, right?
Because they're the golden sevens.
Very lucky. So, very cool. Do you think, Faith, you said that this game was easy to pick up. Do you feel like it'd be easy to teach other kids?
My age.
You think so?
Yeah, but I think that littler kids would enjoy this too.
Yeah, I think 6 and up for sure can handle this.
6 and up, no. Not 4 and up.
Hope played with you pretty well, but I don't know that she'd play by herself very well as far as remembering where all the numbers are. But maybe I'm wrong.
4 and 5 on teams.
On teams. Very good.
But once they like have played it 10 times, they're probably good.
Okay. Well, that's actually another question. Do you think this is a game that we'll keep playing a lot? Or do you think it'll get boring after a while?
Yes. Yes. Oh, nice. If you play like 15 rounds, you're really in the hang of it.
That's true. It is a super fun game. And it does play really quick. I think a game lasts somewhere between 5 and 15 minutes, depending on how fast people find the cards.
Like, if you stay up until 9 o'clock, you could like play 1,500 rounds of this.
Wowzers. That's everybody's dream.
That's everybody's dream.
Do you think, and we kind of said this in the beginning, but do you think that this game is for kids, grown-ups, or both?
Both.
Both.
Both?
Beth.
I would agree. Okay. And then finally, if you could make a game like Nana, what would you add to make it even cooler?
That all the numbers were golden.
All the numbers were golden.
Yes.
You really like that golden artwork, huh?
Yes, I really do.
That's cool. What about you, Faith?
I would make the all the numbers would be words, except for the words would be in Spanish.
What? Oh, also.
What?
So this is what I'm going to say, but I'm still thinking of what I was going to say. But so I think that everything should be the same.
Okay.
Just I can't really see some of the small animals.
Oh, you want bigger cards?
Yes, so that I can see the animals more better.
Okay, interesting.
Like some of the small animals I can't really see.
Yeah.
Even though I have glasses.
Okay, all right.
I think it might be fun if I can make a memory game like Nana. I think I would add like an adventure to it.
An adventure? What do you mean?
Like you have to go find the numbers.
Oh, on like an adventure?
Yeah.
Interesting. That might be fun.
Like you have little tiny wooden characters and you go along the board to find the numbers.
Well, maybe someday. Okay. Well, with that, Joy, do you give this game 2 thumbs down, 1 thumb down, a sideways thumb, 1 thumb up, or 2 thumbs up?
3 thumbs up. No, all my fingers up.
All your fingers up. Okay.
So 10 fingers up.
10,875 thumbs up.
So it's safe to say that both of you really like this game.
Yes! Yes!
Okay. Well, I will stick within the rating system and say 2 thumbs up. I think it's a great game. I think it's great for both kids and for families because we've talked about it being good for kids and adults. I would highly recommend it. It's not too hard to find. Again, I will send a link in the episode description so that you can find it. Because this is a direct game from Japan, and so there are only certain websites where you can go to get it, but I will send you the link where I got it and can highly recommend it.
Yeah.
All right. So with that, Faith and Joy, thank you so much for being here today. Listeners, thank you so much for joining us. If you have feedback or want to give us your thoughts on this game, we would love to hear from you. Links to our socials are in the description. If you don't like socials, I get it. Check out our website at thegametablepodcast.com, shoot us an email at thegametablepodcast@gmail.com, or find us on BoardGameGeek. All these links are also in the description. 5-star reviews, subscribing to your podcast player of choice, following us on socials, if that's your thing, and joining the conversation on Discord. All of these heroic actions are immensely helpful in growing this podcast. Special thanks to Angie Santiago for her cover art, and to Anna Snyder who made the intro and outro music. And to Alexi Chistolin for the How to Play background music. Join us next week as we head back over to the feature table. In the meantime, may your dice rolls and your card draws be blessed, and your experiences at the table be ones to remember forever.
Bye, podcast fans.
Bye-bye. And as I said at the start, I hope you are really lucky today.
Woo!